What's going on, Red Wave? Welcome to Beware of Bulldogs podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Nail. Joining me today, very special guest, Matthew the Beard Sutherland, Fresno State golfer. Matt, how you been, man?
I've been good. Our season is, we got two more tournaments left, and so looking forward to the postseason. So, yeah, I'm good. Graduating in a couple weeks. A lot of exciting stuff.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Now, what year are you?
I'm a fifth year senior. I'm the last COVID. I'm the COVID year people. So,
oh, nice. Yeah. So you use that extra year.
Yes. Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm grateful for the extra year. Absolutely. I think COVID definitely made things challenging, but I think in terms of some positives, having a fifth year is like a very, I'm very grateful for it. Cause I think, you know, I don't know if I would have been ready to leave after 4 years. So it's been good.
Oh, good, man. I'm glad to hear that. So, yeah, if you don't know Matt, Matt's on the Fresno State men's golf team. He's gearing up. Him and the team are gearing up for regionals. The team qualified for some national postseason golf, which is huge. I don't remember the last time. When was the last time Fresno State as a team qualified for regionals?
I think it was 2010 was the last time we qualified for regionals. And this is the first time that our head coach, Chad Spencer, has been able to make regionals as a team. And so that's I'm so grateful to be able to go with him to do that and experience that with him. So
I've never, go ahead.
No. That
was it. Oh, I've never talked with Coach Chad before. Mm-hmm. What's he like?
Really good dude, really good coach. I think if you talk to most of the guys on the team, if they were to say one thing about, Coach Spencer is that, you know, he cares about his individuals, his players more so than he cares about their performance. And I think in golf, that's not always the case with a lot of coaches. I think it can be kind of cutthroat in that sense of like, if you shoot 68, your coach will love you. And if you don't, he's not really going to care. But I think with Chad or with Coach Spencer, he's really he's just a good dude and he looks out for his players. And I think I've certainly appreciated having his leadership my last 5 years. I think I've learned a lot from him. And I think the whole team is grateful to have him as a coach.
I was going to ask, what's one thing in particular you'd say that you've taken away from Coach Spencer over the past years?
I think like looking at the way that like he's one of the most organized people I've ever seen. I think like you go into his office, everything is lined up and he has a scheduled plan for the entire year. And I think as college golfers, we really appreciate that because it's kind of chaotic at times. Like you could be gone on the road for 2 weeks and you need to, you know, you got a bunch of homework still you have to make up and you got a few tests. And it's nice to know that, oh, my entire week is planned out in terms of how I'm going to practice and how I'm going to get better because he's got it all lined up for you. And so I think, you know, him taking the time to do that for the team really creates an environment that makes it very easy on the players to be able to be efficient. Because I know some other programs that it's like day of the coach will tell you where you're going or it's a little bit more chaotic. And I think having coach so organized and on top of things is really nice and definitely a benefit.
Yeah. And I could be completely wrong on this, but so you can correct me if I'm wrong. It seems as though golf is not really one of the programs in schools that is at the top of, I'd say, the budget. They're not sending you all their money. So, it could be easy for a coach to say, I don't care.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Coach Spencer, man, he's all about it.
No. Yeah, he's into it. I mean, I think our team's very competitive and highly competitive. I think, you know, we may not be necessarily, I mean, obviously football at Fresno State is such like a, you know, the kind of the face of the athletic department. But I think in terms of golf, like we go out into the community and interact with, you know, the pride of the Valley. You know, we interact with the people in the Valley probably more than any other program. And so I think, for us, we kind of feel as though we have a responsibility to represent the Bulldogs kind of in everything that we do while we're competing, while we're practicing, because we're doing it in front of our fan base. And so I think that opportunity has not been lost on our team. And I think we enjoy it. And I think Coach Spencer is the same way. Like we feel the same pressure that the football team does. It's just a little bit different, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to when you were deciding where you wanted to play college golf.
Yeah.
I know your uncle attended Fresno State, was on tour for, is he still on tour?
Yeah, Kevin's still playing out on the Champions Tour, so the like 50 and over, kind of a more of the retiree tour, I guess. But he's kind of coming to the end of I think he's 58 or 59, so he's been out there for almost 10 years on the Champions Tour, and then he played on the PJ Tour for 20 plus years. So I think he's kind of coming towards the end of his career. I'll see who knows. He's also kind of a machine. He can kind of keep. He can clock in a top 10 kind of at on command. So we'll see how long he's still playing. He could be out there forever. But,
good for him.
My dad also went to Fresno State too. So they both went to, my uncle and my father went to Fresno State during the 80s. And then when my dad, and they both played on the golf team. And then my dad played on tour for about 10 years in between 1991 and 2008, and then retired in 2008, and is the head women's golf coach at Sacramento State. So kind of having both of them, like, I mean, I heard stories growing up from their time at Fresno State. It was certainly a lot different than it is now, but I felt like I always had a connection here, and I kind of always wanted to play for Fresno State. And in terms of my like recruiting process and deciding to come to Fresno, I wasn't really heavily recruited as a junior golfer. I wasn't like nationally really highly ranked or didn't necessarily play well in a whole lot of tournaments until I committed to Fresno State. But I think part of that was because I think most people knew that I would be wanting to go to Fresno. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a young guy playing on, I think he's on Live. I think his name's Caleb as well.
Yeah. Caleb Surratt, I think he's playing on Live, and he played for, Tennessee, I think.
Okay.
He's a younger guy. He was like a freshman or something. Freshman or sophomore. I don't even know how all that works. I think
I was going to ask you.
I think like live the live tour and all that stuff is totally like kind of random. I think he got on because he knows John Rahm, and John Rahm wanted him on his team, I think. Mm-hmm. So he kind of got in through that. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But the live stuff is really shaken up how golf, the professional golf world really has thought about professional golf. So there's a whole bunch of new different things, but yeah.
Well, shoot, man, you're going pro, I hear, after this season, but we'll get there. I don't want to jump the gun here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this season. Your fifth year, senior season. What's it been like playing with the team? And so talk about the team stuff, and then also individually, what you've been working on and where you see your game going.
Yeah, I mean, this has been probably one of the most fun years of college golf I've had. And I think that's because I've kind of approached my fifth year as like, I've only got one more year to play team golf. I don't want to allow bad golf and the pressure of playing golf like take away from that, you know, because it is such a blessing to be able to play with teammates in golf because it's not a team sport. I mean, like finishing a round and being able to come back to the hotel room and hang out with the team, and they all care about how you played and wished you shot better. Like if you think about like with golf, this is a classic quote from my dad and my uncle, but they always tell me, they're like, Matthew, when you play tournament golf, professional golf even more so, about 5% of the field wants you to play well. 45% of the field doesn't really care what you shot. And then 50% of the field wishes you played worse. So, so really like no one really cares in professional golf how you played. But then when you're playing with teammates, it's nice that, you know, you have guys around you that are here, that are there to support you, and you can celebrate with them and during good golf. And then also, you know, hang out with them when you're playing crappy. And so I think I've taken advantage of that, having them on the team and being able to hang out and just enjoy life together. I think that's probably the number one thing. And being able to experience these, you know, a lot of the experiences I had as a freshman with some of the younger guys on the team. And yeah, I'm truly grateful for that. And then in terms of the individual side, I think for me, I've obviously just been trying to win tournaments. I mean, I haven't really implemented a whole lot of new swing thoughts or anything like that. Just really trying to stay locked in and play my best. But golf is weird. It's a tough game.
Golf is extremely hard until it's easy. I don't know if it ever gets easy.
No, 100%. Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. When you're playing well, it's like the most fun thing ever because it feels incredibly easy.
I wish I experienced that sometime. But I really like what you said about team golf because it's true. I mean, I've never experienced team golf. So 100% of the people I play with wish I shot worse. I don't know if it's possible. Worse, but it's always like that. But it's, you know, you say that 100% of your teammates want you to shoot better. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And you just don't get that frequently. Yeah.
Yeah. How fun, man. So you played in regionals last year as an individual, correct?
Yeah.
What are you taking from that experience playing individually into this regional, which, by the way, I haven't said, it's a Stanford regional.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what course you're playing at. I should have looked.
It's just Stanford's home course. Stanford, I think they have a golf course. I don't know what it's like, Stanford University golf course or something like that.
Of course they have their own course.
Yeah.
So what did you take from last year's experience playing individually that you're going to kind of, like, I don't know, you coach up the boys on the team or kind of let them know what's going on? What are you taking into this?
In terms of regionals, I think, and even nationals too, I think it's really not any different than any other tournament that you play all year. It really isn't. I think sometimes you can play in some like really big amateur tournaments where it feels different, feels like more like a professional event or a PGA Tour event. But with regionals, you're still playing college golf, and it's still just teeing it up with your buddies and going and playing. Like, there's really not a big difference in terms of, I mean, obviously the golf courses are set up harder. They're going to be longer, more rough, a little bit firmer greens, faster greens. So maybe the playing, like the actual competition may feel a little bit more challenging, but in terms of the tournament, it's just like a normal college event. I think if you try to put any more pressure on yourself, it can make it more challenging. But yeah, I think that's what I'd take away from it. Let's just go out.
I mean, that's all you really can do, right?
Yeah.
Now, can you explain to all of us and the listeners that how college golf is set up? So you guys were selected, the team was selected to go play, and it's not like you play three other teams.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole slew of teams in the Stanford regional. There's other regionals around the country going on right now.
Yeah.
Can you explain to all of us how this is set up and go ahead.
No problem. So, college golf is set up around, like a five count four setup where you have five guys playing on the team and you count the four best scores. So that's basically how we get our, that's how we compete in terms of team golf, is we compete with our four best scores versus another team's four best scores. But in terms of in tournament golf with that, you compete against about 15 teams per tournament. So, so at the Stanford regional, there's 14 teams. And then there's 14 teams in like six other regionals, I think. And so, but those guys are all playing in their own separate event. Like we're not competing against teams playing in other events. We're only playing against the 14 teams at the Stanford regional. And at the Stanford regional, in terms of postseason for NCAA stuff, if you finish inside the top five, you qualify to go play in nationals. And so for us, we're really just trying to compete and get inside that top five, which I think would be a really special thing because I think the team's good enough. But yeah, that's basically how college golf works, I guess. It can be a little bit confusing, but it's you count your four best scores out of the five guys, and that goes up against the four best scorers of all the other teams.
Right. And I'm going to get, just so everybody listening knows, I'm going to get up where we can tune in and watch you guys and cheer you guys out. At least what, if can't watch, you know, keep up with leaderboards and things like that. So
yeah,
just know we're behind you, man. We're going to be supporting you.
I love it.
All right. So I was looking at, I was stalking you. Sorry. No, the, I saw you're involved with, the CGF.
Yeah.
The Christian Golf Fellowship.
Yeah.
It looked awesome. I saw they had, they spotlighted you. You talked about it. You got baptized in the river or whitewater rafting. Yeah. I thought that was sweet. Yeah. I also saw you hit a step back jumper from the three. This is a couple years ago. Looks smooth, man. I got to say. Yeah. So you're an athlete. Like, golf is a sport and the athletes play it. But talk to me about CGF and how you got, first, actually, what it is and how you got involved.
Yeah. So CGF is, it's College Golf Fellowship, not Christian Golf Fellowship, but it's like basically the same thing. College Golf Fellowship is a nationwide group of like ministers basically that are all, they kind of service certain areas that have a lot of college golf teams and stuff like that. And they basically, there's certain like team chaplains for every region. So we're lucky enough in Fresno to have Pace Johnson, who's our local team chaplain who kind of services Fresno City College, Ridley College, Fresno State. And so he's really like made a massive impact on my life and a lot of the guys on the team. And I'm so grateful. I mean, College Golf Fellowship is by far the, for me, my most fondest experience in terms of playing college golf, because I was kind of brought in my freshman and sophomore year. I was not a believer in Christ. And after chatting with Pace Johnson, I got connected with him. I went on a few retreats, and sure enough, you know, God worked in me and changed my spirits. And I got baptized last summer, and I'm so grateful for that. And so that has been a truly, a kind of unbelievable and beautiful experience that College Golf has offered me through College Golf Fellowship. And I'm so grateful for it. But yeah, really cool ministry group. Pace Johnson's a really good dude, changed my life. And if you're a college golfer listening to this, go on a College Golf Fellowship retreat. And I suggest the whitewater rafting retreat because it's pretty unbelievable. But yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm a believer as well. So I think that's awesome, and you can't ask for a cooler way to be baptized as well.
No, it was beautiful. I mean, it was the first retreat I ever went on was the whitewater rafting retreat. I love being out in nature and fishing and rafting and doing all that stuff, and it kind of changed my outlook on life the first time I went on it. And I thought, man, like maybe next time I come up, maybe I'll get baptized. And sure enough, I felt the need to do it, and I did, and it was amazing.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
All right. I got to ask about the beard.
Yeah.
So like I've seen photos with you with just about a dozen tees stuffed in your beard. Yeah. You know, they call you the beard on social and things like that. When did this start and how long have you had it going? You'll answer that. When did it start? And then is there any chance that you're going to shave in the future?
I don't know. It grows pretty quick. So I think even if I did shave, it would probably be back pretty soon. But I started growing
a lot of hair, man. That's nice. I'm losing it.
Yeah. Yeah. My head's full of hair too. I need to go get a haircut actually. But I started growing it out my freshman year, I think. I don't know. I don't even really know why. I just, I think most freshmen just get bored of, or get lazy and stop shaving. And I kind of grew it out and it just kind of took off from there. I haven't shaved it fully since like maybe 2 years, but it kind of will get really scruffy like it did last summer. And then I got to kind of trim it down. But the host of a Back of the Range podcast is the guy which is a amateur golf podcast. And he goes around to all of the different amateur events over summer, kind of coined my name as the beard, I guess. And then during the USAM when I made it to the round of 16, he would like post updates and he would just call me the beard. And so that's kind of how it happened. But I had nothing to do with it, but I was like, I'll go. I don't care. So yeah, it's fun. It's a cool like little, it can be my marketing now, I guess. I don't know. But
that's the first thing I thought of. We got to put Matt's face with the beard, or you know what they did with Brian Wilson on the Giants, the Fear the Beard
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We got to do that with Sutherland.
Yeah, we can do that. I think that might be the next thing.
Yeah, perfect. Beware Bulldog T-shirt with Sutherland's beard on it. That's the closest I'm going to get to growing a beard. I can't. I just can't. I tried.
Yeah, I think I was blessed with some good hair follicles on my face, I guess. No one else in my family has a beard either, so I'm just.
Oh really?
Honor, yeah. Sorry, I'm probably making you not feel very good.
No, it's fine, man. It's fine. Just my masculinity is in question now, but it's fine. You brought up the U.S. amateurs. I did see a couple of those videos, and you got to play with. I'm forgetting his name, but the guy that played with Tiger in the Masters, who's paired with him in the Masters. I forget his name. What's it been like? You know, you get to play with all these guys. In the amateur realm, and then you see their success rising up the ranks, and you're rising up the ranks, you're turning pro. What's it been like to watch those guys compete with those guys and learn from them?
In golf, it's even more evident, like as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I think that's a great Bible verse, and I think it's absolutely true in golf, where like seeing guys like Nick Dunlap or Neil Shipley even like go out and play really well on the professional level, just inspires me and kind of gives me some confidence knowing that the guys that we're playing in college are really good golfers. And I think that's absolutely true. Even I lost to a kid from Auburn, a freshman at Auburn, I lost to him in the round of 16, and his name's Jackson Coyven. And I remember I watched him hit a few shots in that match, like, this kid's a freshman. Holy cow. Like, he's really good. And I'm glad that I was right, because he's ranked fourth in the country right now and like hasn't finished outside the top four all year. So good golf is everywhere, even at the college level. And so I think being able to play and compete at, you know, in these big national events and compete against guys that are legit, you know, already PGA Tour winners is it's good. And it just brings confidence to know that I'm playing against those guys.
We were talking about Jordan Spieth before we started, because he didn't make Jordan Spieth not making the cut this weekend. You know, you were telling me just how difficult it is to play a high level of golf consistently. And what I thought was interesting, you brought up Tiger Woods. He set a standard that, you know, the common fan we probably shouldn't get behind. I mean, we could be a fan of it, but we probably shouldn't expect that from anybody, because it's so difficult to do.
No, absolutely. Golf is such a challenging sport in terms of longevity and playing it consistently over a long period of time, because it's a unnatural movement that is, it's not like a reactionary thing where it's like in other sports, if you have a faster reaction time and you're stronger and you're bigger, you're probably going to succeed. If you're more athletic in most scenarios, you're gonna succeed. But in golf, you're dealing with controlling tiny little muscles in your hands and small little unpredictable, you know, like wind and different calculations that you may make. Like there's some randomness to golf, like serious randomness, and then there's also just the challenge of swinging a stick the exact same every time over and over again and controlling the club face by 1 or 2 degrees. And so in terms of Jordan Spieth, I think for him, I think he kind of fell into a tough spot with his golf swing, which happens to everyone who plays professional golf or plays golf at any time. He kind of fell into a tough spot with his golf swing. And then since then, he's been kind of trying to dig himself back out, which can be challenging, but oftentimes really rewarding when you're able to kind of get through those tough patches and figure it out and play good golf. But yeah, I think in terms of with Tiger Woods, I think he kind of set an unobtainable standard in the sense of being a number one player in the world and winning so many major tournaments in a 10-year period that it kind of has made it really challenging on other guys. Like even a guy like Rory McIlroy, who's, you know, been a number, like arguably a number one player in the world for the last, you know, 15 years or so, or I guess maybe 10 years. You know, people still talk like, oh, he hasn't won a major since 2014. It's like, it's really hard to win. You're talking about four tournaments every year, and it's over a 10-year period. Like, it can be really hard to win against the best players in the world. You know, like, the top 100 players in the world are playing these events. And I think Tiger set a bit of an unusual standard in the sense of dominating for that period, for that amount of time. And so I think in terms of Jordan Spieth, I'm sure it's frustrating for him, but I think he'll figure it out. And who knows, he might win more majors. But
Now, what about Matthew Sutherland? When he's in a slump, what does he do to get out of it?
Man, there's a few different, I've taken a few different strategies, and I think both of them, I'll typically try to take some time off, get away from the game, because a lot of it is very much so mental and just being mentally ready to be at the golf course. Because one of the challenges in golf is you can get burnout really quite easily, because there's like, when you're playing bad, you just get so little reward. There's no reward for a good shot or a bad shot. And it takes time to like finally see that happen. So I think sometimes you got to take some time off, get some space in between you and golf, and then you can come back and appreciate golf for what it is as a gift and like a really fun game that we get to play. And then I also think like working your butt off, like going out and, you know, like a few slumps that I've taken some time off and then came back and I hit 500 balls a day for a week. And if I don't have anything by the end of that week, then it's tough luck. But that usually is what it takes, I think. But definitely giving yourself rest, getting away from the game, appreciate the game, love the game, and then go back and work as hard as you can. So I think that's definitely been my approach to dealing with a slump or burnout or any of that.
Mm-hmm. Now for a quick tip for golfers like myself, what would you recommend? I mean, it sounds like to me, go out and have fun. Like most of it is mental, but what would you say? Well, if you were to give anybody a tip.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of having fun, I mean, I don't think there's anything more fun than winning and playing good golf. So I totally agree that, cause I'm not one to say that like playing bad golf really sucks. Like it's not very fun, but I think it's about enjoying the suck and enjoying the challenge in terms of playing competitive golf. But for your average player, I think if I were to give tips in terms of shooting better scores, cause I can't necessarily give any swing tips cause I'd need to be there with you watching you hit balls. But in terms of like going out and managing your game, I think the biggest thing that I've noticed with your average player is just limiting high numbers. Like if you can find a way to turn the doubles and triples into bogeys, that can be not three putting or you know, not hitting it into penalty areas, like avoiding penalty areas and stuff like that. I think that would be probably an easy way to shave some shots off your round.
Oh, thank you. I need that. It's hard when I go out and with the buddies and, you know, we got hero shots only. We're not there this round. It's hero shots. I probably shouldn't tell you that before, you know, you play regionals, but
that's fine too, though. I think hitting the hero shots are fun. Like I think part of it too is like, if you're okay with making doubles and triples, then go for the crazy shots, you know. Because those are the most fun to hit, and trust me, I'm not the. I'm always going for the hero shots. Like I. That's one thing I love to do is like hit these crazy shots. So I get that too.
Yeah. All right. Well, May 13th. That's not this Monday, but next Monday is when regionals begin. So what are you going to do during this week to kind of prep?
Yeah. We had a good week of practice after we came back from conference this last week. And so going forward, looking at regionals, our week plan is to hit wedges on Monday and Wednesday on campus, get dialed in terms of our numbers inside 100 yards roughly. And then for myself, I've kind of been in between swing feels and stuff like that. I've been trying to like work out and figure out some consistency with the swing. So for me, I'm just going to be hitting a lot of balls and going and playing out at Sunnyside. So pretty much the same prep as it is for any week, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Oh man, I'm excited for you. I good luck to you guys, you and the team.
Yeah.
We're pulling for you, man. And congratulations on a great season.
Thank you.
I know it's been long. I know it's like an 8-9 month season.
Yeah, it's long. It's tough. One of the challenges of college golf is that the first tee shot you hit in September counts the same as the last shot you hit at regionals, and they're 8 months apart. And so you have to be mentally sharp for pretty much that whole time. We have about 2 months off in the middle, but yeah, it's definitely a long season and pretty tough, but it's worth it.
Well, good luck out there, and congratulations on graduating. What are you getting your degree in?
Communication and a minor in history. So,
all right, yeah. I'm a big history buff. I'm all for it, man. Well, yeah, love it. Good for you, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on and taking time to do this.
Thank you for having me.
Monday, May 13th, regionals begin. Fresno State. Go. Actually, you know what? And I apologize. I'm going to keep you for one more question. And everybody listening too, I asked everybody this, but since you're graduating, and I'm not done yet, but I don't know, next time I'll talk to you, what does the Fresno State Bulldog and the Green V mean to you after spending 5 years playing golf here, representing all of us in the Central Valley? What has it meant to you?
I mean, it's meant a lot to me. It really has. Being the pride of the Valley and being able to kind of reflect out into the Valley, kind of what it means to be in Fresno and in the community of Fresno. Like, I'm doing a speech at our Night of Champions dinner on Monday night that kind of touches on this a little bit. I think college athletics, like there's an opportunity as Fresno State athletes that in my 5 years at Fresno State has kind of gotten like lost in this shuffle of college athletics. And I think a lot of it is now so focused on the personal side, the power to the student athlete. And I think those are good things. But I think the most important thing is that we have an opportunity at Fresno State to play for something far greater than ourselves, right? We have an opportunity to not only play for our coaches and teammates, also the entire athletic department. Every athlete at Fresno State is who I'm playing for when I put on my polo. But then also on top of that, play for the entire San Joaquin Valley, a valley that's incredibly hardworking, has been beaten, battered by drought and challenges in that regard, and has still stood strong, providing food for all of us. All the, you know, like basically like I, it has been such a joy, and I'm so grateful to get up and work hard every day, knowing that I'm working hard for a valley that's also working hard for me, you know? And so I think that is an opportunity as Fresno State athletes that's not available everywhere and only available for the time that you're an athlete at Fresno State. So I'm super excited for the last few weeks of the year, and I'm incredibly grateful for my 5 years at Fresno State.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. As a farmer myself, man, I thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, best of luck. And to you and the team, so let them know for me. And I'll have to get you back on after regional and maybe bring some of your boys, and we can catch up again. And you can coach me up on the golf course too. I know we talked about it last time. But go kick some butt, man. We're cheering for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Caleb.
All right, man. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.